Amen. Well, I hope you brought your Bibles tonight and came for preaching. Amen. It's closing out our back-to-school revival. It's been a blessing to have our missionary, Dr. Don Chitty, here and preaching the Word of God. It's been a blessing, I know, to me, and I know he mentioned it today. Just I wish you guys could come and see what we get to see in chapel. Our young people, our college, all together inside the auditorium, all together, and listening to the Word of God, and then at the invitation at the altar. Amen. It's encouraging. It gives me encouragement about the future of our church, our ministry in America. Amen. Amen. And so tonight I'm looking forward to it. I hope you'll pray for him. I hope you have already been praying. If you haven't, I hope you'll pick that up and pray for him. They're doing a great work out there and need our prayers. Amen. Brother Chitty, why don't you come? If you'll come, and then I want to make sure you knew that we have some water up here if you need that.
All right, I want to start off by saying thank you. I've never been here when you folks didn't know how to treat people right. You absolutely know how to treat people right. And I want to say thank you for that. I've watched, I'm a people's watcher, I can't help it. I watch people when I preach, I watch people during the singing. By the way, that young lady just sang. Woo! Wow, all of us can say God's been good. But thank you. I thank the staff. I thank the school staff, the college staff. And we even had people come that wasn't expected to come. And they came anyway. And what a blessing that was for all of that. It's been a week for me like you wouldn't believe. I travel a lot. I really do. And it's getting heartbreaking to see how churches are changing. It's, but this has been great. I mean, super. I thank you so much for that. In all the travels, I have a lot of acquaintances, but I made some friends this week. A friend will pray for you. Listen to me now. A friend will pray for you. But a friend's also interested in what you're doing for God, and they pray for that. And prayer can do anything God can do. So I just want to just say thank you tonight, and I mean that with all of my heart. I want to try to help you with something tonight. I want to make sure that my position is biblical. It's easy to get opinionated. It really is. And in my opinions are right and yours are wrong, but I want the position I take. I want my position to be biblical, but I want my disposition to be spiritual. Amen. And so you pray for me if you would, please. Yeah, find if you would. We're going to start off in John 13. So go ahead and find that, please. I'm chewing your Florida air again tonight. After that storm, the humidity got a little wild out there. We have good weather in New Mexico. If you don't like it, stick around 5 minutes. It'll change. Amen. Several times in the Bible, this phrase is made, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I do not believe God is a respecter of persons. I believe that God would do as much for me as he did Dr. Mickey Carter if I paid the price he paid. If I take a stand that he took. If I stay faithful like he did. I just believe that. So when you see this thing, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that should not offend you. Here's what it should do. It should create a want to in your life. I want to do what this disciple that Jesus loves so that I could be a disciple that Jesus loves. All right. That's a goal I want you to look at tonight. Now, they know how to get me to preach short. Have ice cream. He knows that. And that's the only reason he did it. He didn't do it for you and to get a crowd. He did it so I'd be short. So John 13. Look down at verse 23 with me, please. John 13, down at verse 23. The Bible says, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Have you ever thought about that? Everybody's sitting around, and John just loved him so much he couldn't stand it. He wanted to be as close as you can get. And he sat there, just leaned his head right upon the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember one time when the guys named Peter got jealous about that? And the Lord began to tell him what he wanted him done. And Peter spoke up with there's John over there leaning on Jesus. By the way, you can lean on Jesus. Amen. And he's leaning on Jesus. And he's telling everybody what to do. And Peter said, "Yeah, but what shall this man do?" Remember that in the Bible? And you know, Jesus is God. Now, let's be careful. You watch your doctrine. And when that when it became flesh and dwelt amongst us, it was a male Jew named Jesus. Amen. Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen. And Jesus sort of got him straight, didn't he? "What is that to thee?" Basically what he was saying is, shut up. And you worry about you, and John will worry about John. By the way, John never got as much trouble as Peter did. Hello? Did you hear what I said, fellas? Yeah. Get as close to Jesus as you can. In doing so, in the day and age we live in, somebody's going to mock and make fun of you. And I'm telling you. You take a stand on the King James Bible, somebody's going to mock and make fun of you. Become a Sunday school boy, a church boy, a Bible thumper. People's going to make fun of you. But I guarantee you, it's going to be worth it. The disciple that Jesus loves will sit where others will not sit. A disciple, listen to me carefully now. A disciple whom Jesus loves will sit where others will not sit. Most Christians today, and I feel liberty here to say what needs to be said, okay? I believe that most people that claim Jesus as their Savior, all they're interested in is fire insurance. And Jesus is not in the insurance business. He's in the assurance business. So here's a man that's sitting so close to him. You can't see here where it's ever an illustration that it shows anything other than his respect, honor, obedience, and glory to the Lord. He hated what Jesus hated. He loved what Jesus loved. Oh, don't lose your place in John, because we're going to be right back to it. But take your Bibles and look in Acts chapter 4. You know what it says, but look there anyway. Acts chapter 4. And we'll turn right back to John, I promise. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read a verse and I'm going to make a statement. In Acts chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says this: "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Now I'm going to give you something I want you to write down as you turn back to John. It's not what position you have in the church, but what is your position in Christ. I thank God for pastors, assistant pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries. I thank God for all of those deacons, ushers, givers. And by the way, a giver is not just money. That's giving you time, your talent, your tithe, and an offering. And I like those positions. Where in the world would we be without them? Listen, if you leave everything up to the pastor, you're not going to have a church. And by the way, if you're a Bible believer, you're supposed to go soul winning, take taters to widders, Amen. To give the pastor time for prayer and study. Don't let the sit around and let the pastor do everything. Just don't do it. So we get to where sometimes we feel like we're somebody because we're the usher, because we're the deacon, because we're this and because we're that. Listen to me carefully. I have so many degrees that I look like a thermometer. And I can take every one of them and $2 and go to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee. I have 10 Purple Hearts and 12 medals. I can take every one of them and $2 and go to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee. Are you staying with me? Owen, he who thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is to increase and we are to decrease? But boy, this day and age, it's just different, isn't it? It's just so different. Everybody wants to be the man. I never get myself in trouble this early, but I'll go ahead and do it. Take a deep breath, because it's gonna hurt some of you. Not everybody that's pastoring should be pastoring. Amen. And when Joe Olstein's wife's got a deeper voice than him, we got a problem. There's some good men of God. Watch me carefully. There's some great men of God that could be one of the greatest assets to a church you've ever seen, but they just want to be the man. And they'll mess up their family, mess up their ministry, mess up their life, and mess up some church because they want to be the man. It's not your position in the church. It's your position in Christ. And if Christ hates it, you should hate it. Yea, and the seventh things he hates. So in discord among the brother. But what he loves, you should love. Amen. He loves souls. If he didn't, how did you get here? Let me tell you how great of a person you are. Ready? You're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And by the way, don't let make you shout though. Don't make you get down in the dumps and bow your head. You'll be shouting. Amen. God can save an old sinner like me. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. The disciple whom Jesus loves will sit where others will not sit. They'll sit real, real close to Jesus. Then find John 19 a few pages over. John chapter 19. John 19, I'm going to read two verses to you, 25 and 26. Are you ready? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he looks down at John, or you know the story, and he said, Son, behold your mother. Do you realize that one of the last things Jesus ever did was to take care of his mother? Now you folks that's got a good mom, you take advantage of that. I didn't have a mama. And you've heard the story, I don't need to repeat it. But what a blessing it would be to have a godly mother. A godly mother. But here's the story, and you should get it. Jesus has been nailed to the cross. There's those ladies there, the different Marys that are mentioned, and John. They're standing there. Now we preach against Peter denying the Lord three times, and we should, but at least he's there. Where's the rest of them? Where's the rest of them? I almost preached tonight on, where's the nine? I know where the nine are. Where's the one? Where's the one of today that have come back to Jesus and do the right things? Amen. The disciple whom Jesus loves will stand where others don't stand. John and Mary was standing by the cross. Where's the rest? Stand for truth when no one else will. John wasn't perfect, but he stood. Can you imagine the courage that takes? Knowing all he had to do is turn. Take him and kill him too. Why do you think Peter denied him three times? Think about it for a second. And at any second they could have taken John, killed him too. But he stood. We got too many wishy-washy Christians up and down like a yo-yo. Listen to me carefully. If you're the only one that stands at your school, stand. If you're the only one that stands at work, stand. If you're the only one that stands in the neighborhood, stand. If you're the only one that stands around your family, stand. Stand. Now, if I'm going to be the disciple that Jesus loves, I've got to sit where others won't sit, and I've got to stand where others won't stand. Amen. Or just, by the way, I'm just coming out to say it. Write me up. Send it out. Never have me back again. We were a stand against Calvinism. Was God a liar when he said don't add to or take away from the Bible? Then why are we doing it? You'll take a stand for the old King James Bible. By the way, you'll take a stand for soul winning. Well, if they're, you know, God knows if they need to get saved or not, he'll save them. If they need, ain't none of my, but I was at a meeting one time. It was in North Florida. I came in and my brother-in-law said, hey, they're having a revival over at such and such a church. And I had been a long time since I've been at church, but I had to remember church. I said, sure, I'll go with you. There was a man, and during those years, I prayed 17 and a half years for my daddy before he got saved. And as a man came in, I wore the same kind of glasses, combed his hair back. It looked just like my daddy. And I thought, wow. Boy, I've been praying for my daddy to get saved. During the invitation, during the end of the service, this church all of a sudden said, oh, the men, come on here forward. And I didn't know what they were doing. I'm dumb as a stump. They were praying people in. Praying them through. And this man came and he knelt. And they all got around him, began screaming, shouting, acting like they was praying. I don't know what they were doing. And it scared the old man half to death. I went down and put my arm around him. You can tell he'd never been to church before. I put my arm around him. I said, sir, you remind me of my daddy. I've been praying for my daddy to go to heaven. You coming tonight at this altar gives me an encouragement that my daddy can get saved. And as I'm showing him how to be saved, have my Bible open and everything. The pastor of that church tapped me on the shoulder and said, you are not the Holy Spirit. It's God's job to witness to him and to save him. And with my perfect, calm Marine Corps demeanor, I told him to shut up and to leave me alone for a few minutes. And I won the man to the Lord. Listen to me, you listen carefully. If you're the only one standing, stand. Amen. You go to a church, it used to be a good church, they're not standing, you stand. Amen. You see, the disciple that Jesus loves will sit where others will not sit, and he'll stand where others will not stand. Amen. Amen and amen. You're already in chapter 19. Look down to verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy fingers and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Take a stand. Do you remember they probably had a hurricane on Wednesday night, and they had to meet on Thursday night. And Thomas had missed the meeting, and Jesus showed up. Amen. By the way, Jesus show up in church. You want to know where he is? Come to church. By the way, I've had people tell me, I got away from God. I wonder if I can come back. Let me tell you exactly where Jesus is. Right where you left him. Amen. He's faithful. He's right wherever you left him. Now go back and get him.
Amen.
Amen. But here in this story we find out, Thomas said, they told Thomas, hey, but you should have been here Thursday night. Jesus showed up. He said, I ain't going to believe that unless I can take my finger and put it in the hand of my hand, thrust it aside. You know the story. Yeah. Next time they had a church service, Thomas was there and Jesus showed up. And Jesus said, Thomas, you what this means? You what this means in sign language? Come here, you brat. So Thomas, come here. He said, take your finger. No, Lord, no. He said, take your finger. Put it right here. Take your hand, thrust it at my side. Now watch, all you Jehovah's Witnesses, listen to me. He stepped back and said, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
Stand. In John 19, let me find it real fast for you. I know it's in the Bible. John 19, verse 27. Let me read this to you real fast. Then saith he to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own house. Watch this carefully. The disciple whom Jesus loves will serve where others will not serve. My wife got a phone call from her brother who lives over here at Claremont. And their mother, my mother-in-law, was in assisted living over at Claremont, not doing well. And so my wife and I came down to see her. And my wife's heart was broken about her mother. We get back home and her brother calls and said, they won't let her stay there anymore. She needs more help than just assistance. And we're gonna have to put her in a nursing home. And my wife said, where? He said, well, the best one we can find is like 80 miles away. And my wife, I could hear her crying, talking to her brother on the phone. She said, how often will you get to see her? He said, maybe at Christmas sometime around once a year or something. And my wife hung up the phone just bawling. And she said, I don't want that to happen. I want my mama to come live with me till she dies. Is it okay? And I said, it's not the idea if it's okay with me or not. The idea is you need to realize taking care of somebody's full-time job. Yeah. And my wife teaches school all day long. And I said, but you don't want to look back one day and wish you had done something.
Amen.
No regrets. So we came down here and got her and took her back to New Mexico. She died in our home. I remember having to have somebody come watch her while my wife taught school. My wife would come home and all night long take care of her mother, day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month after month, until she died. Do you realize when you're talking about serve, when others will not serve, it's easier not to serve. And I'm be totally honest with you people. It's easier not to run a stinking bus route.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just being honest with you. You run your bus route, by the time you get back, the food's cold, the iced tea's turned to water. And just be careful. And it's not fun. Some parent cussed you out because the preacher preached too long, kids got back late. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. And if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. We have mission buses in our ministry. Does everybody know what a mission bus is? Raise your hand. That's one that a church no longer wants anymore because it's junk. So to give it to the missionary.
Yes.
Amen. You're going to be there one day. You'll find out I'm telling you the truth. We need tools. We got mission tools. That means when the drill no longer works, the hammer don't have a handle in it anymore, box it up and send it to the mission field. I'm just saying all that to say this to you. It's easier to not serve. If you drive a bus in Florida and it does not have air conditioner in the summer, you're a better person than I am. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying it'd be easier not to run the bus route. Let's be honest. It'd be easier not to go soul winning. Those lizards up in Gainesville are playing football tonight. It'd been easier to stay home tonight and watch the game. Don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's easier not to serve. But you watch this carefully. The disciple whom Jesus loves will serve where others will not serve. Amen and amen. It's easier not to do this. By the way, let me say this to you. You take this any way you want to take it. Jesus did not pray to Mary. He prayed for and with Mary. Amen. Young man in Vietnam, down in a foxhole, got half blown away. And some of his buddies came and said, "You're going to make it, man. We called up the corpsman. The corpsman's going to be here in a minute. He'll take care of you. He'll stop the bleeding. What can we do for you?" He said, "Man, get me a priest. Get the father over here quick." And he sat in that hole counting his rosaries, counting the beads. A chaplain came and dove in a hole with him and said, "Son, may I help you?" And he looked up and said, "No, you're not a Catholic chaplain. I want to track you." He said, "Son, you're wounded, you're hurting. At least let me help you." He said, "No, I want a Catholic chaplain." He said, "Can I at least go get a doctor for you?" He said, "Yeah, I'll do that." He got up to get out of the hole to go get a doctor. He turned and looked at the kid and he said, "Are you sure you don't want me to get the doctor's mother?"
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Listen, be careful. Let somebody tell you got a disease or a virus. You want the doctor, not the doctor's mother. Amen and amen. It's not always easy to serve, but we should serve. John 21. John 21. Verse 3 says this. Simon Peter saith to them, "I go a fishing." They said to him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the elders knew not, the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast the net therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Yep. Watch this carefully. And I want to help you with something. This is the most important thing I'm going to tell you tonight. The disciple whom Jesus loves can see what others cannot see. Hello? Some of you came here from other churches, college students or whatever. Do you remember a time in your life when your preacher wanted to do something that seemed like the dumbest thing you've ever heard of? But out of respect and love and obedience, you went ahead and did it anyway, or the church went ahead and did it anyway, and it worked out to be the perfect thing to do? You see, the disciple whom Jesus loves will see things that others don't see. And the sooner we can realize that, the better off we're going to be. When no one else realized it was Jesus, John did. So let me just give you a few things tonight. Go back to, we don't have to go back to it. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians 2:9 where he said, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard"? Remember that in the Bible? But wait a minute. you get to Revelation, John saw. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, that's before the rapture in Revelation 4. And he says, no man has seen. When you get to Revelation, guess what? John saw a lot. Oh, think about that for a second. You may not like this, but I do. If you are saved, John's already seen you in heaven. John's already seen the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And glory to God in the highest. He's already seen the devil thrown in the bottom of the bottomless pit. I know that it sounds demonic, and it sounds critical, or it sounds everything bad word you can come up with. There's two times when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout louder than anybody there. When you get there, I'm going to look at you and say, I told you so. Well, God takes all the mosquitoes, puts them in a big giant ball, and throws them into hell, and I get to hear their feathers singeing. I'm going to say, oh, glory. I hate a mosquito. If you've ever been to Vietnam, you would hate mosquitoes. They breed them to turkeys over there. When they attack you, the best way to kill them, seriously, is hold a piece of plywood up and let them stick through it and take a hammer and beat it bent where they can't fly away, and then take your machine gun and shoot them. Another thing I'm going to be shouting to the heavens about when he takes those slew foot. That sorry devil that gives me such a hard time. And cast him in the bottom of the bottomless pit. You say, you're going to be happy that somebody went to hell? Guilty. 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 The reason that bothers you for me to say that is this. If you're going same direction with the devil, you'll never run into him. But if you're going the opposite direction of the devil, you're going to bump into him quite often. Amen and amen. But think about all that John saw, all that he saw. But wait a minute. I said a disciple whom Jesus loves will sit where others will not sit. They'll stand where others will not stand. They'll serve where others will not serve. Watch this carefully. But they get to see what others will not see. Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. You ever see, have a vision of seeing your loved one saved? Huh? You ever had a vision of finishing college and going somewhere and serving God till he comes or you go?
Amen.
Wow. I want to see those things. I want to see my loved ones saved. I want to see my kids, my grandkids, and my new great-grandkids saved and in heaven with me. I want to see it. I want to see the glory of God. Can you imagine dying and all of a sudden you're with the Lord because you were saved? Can you imagine you're on your bus route or sitting in a church pew or preaching or singing a special and Jesus comes? He said, occupy till I come. That means get up and get something done. When he comes, he wants to find you busy working for him. What a day that will be. And then I like that. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. Oh, my soul. But watch this carefully, and I'll close with this. He could see what others could not see because he was willing to sit where others would not sit. He was willing to stand where others would not stand. He was willing to serve where others would not serve. And because of that, glory to God in the highest, he could see what others could not see. The disciple whom Jesus loved. If I had a peanut for a brain, I'd try to figure out all those things and go home and study them. And I'd say, Lord, I want to be a disciple whom Jesus loves, But to do that, I understand I'll have to sit, I'll have to stand, I'll have to serve. And then by God's grace, I'll get to see.
Amen.